Hello and welcome back to the Windows 10 Technical Preview Jumpstart. We are into the final module and we're going to be taking a look at one of those things which can tend to put some roadblocks in the way of any kind of deployment. So as we're starting to think about some of the fundamental changes that we're making inside of Windows 10, obviously thinking about some of those roadblocks comes into play. So I've asked Fred Pullen from our Internet Explorer marketing team to come along and talk to us a little bit about web application compatibility inside of Windows 10 and what we're doing to help you guys to remove some of those roadblocks. So, Fred, welcome.
Thank you, Simon.
Web application compatibility inside of Windows 10, how do you kind of think about that all up at the moment?
No, it's a great question. So we have spent a lot of resources over the last year improving Internet Explorer and particularly focusing on backward compatibility. I think in the past, we really looked at just future compatibility, and our guidance to customers was upgrade your web apps to modern standards. Now we are doing a much better job of recognizing that you can't upgrade all of your web apps overnight. Customers have ERP systems, CRM systems, lots of large line of business applications that take years to upgrade. So what we're doing now is taking kind of a twofold approach. And this is where we look at web app compat in terms of the legacy web versus the modern web. Legacy web, of course, is the older stuff, the line of business applications that are already in existence, and the modern web focuses on compatibility with modern websites and services. Of course, most public websites fall into the modern web category, relying on new standards like HTML5, CSS3, WebGL, other modern standards. But the legacy web has a lot of line of business applications out there that can't be upgraded overnight. Mm-hmm. So now we've focused a lot of effort on how do we provide backward compatibility for the modern web. Obviously, we still would like for customers to upgrade to modern standards eventually, but the easiest way to upgrade in the short term is to look at compatibility with the legacy web. So if we think about this in terms of Internet Explorer has lots of versions out there that are currently supported today. On Windows 7 alone, we have IE8, IE9, IE10, and IE11, mm-hmm. which is why in August we announced that starting January 12th, 2016, we're only supporting the most recent version of Internet Explorer available for a supported platform. Now, that's for a few different reasons. First of all, it helps defragment the ecosystem. It helps move everyone forward to the next major version of Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
But it also is really great for security. Older versions of Internet Explorer are inherently less secure. They're not as fast as today's versions of Internet Explorer. And also, if you're on an older version of Internet Explorer, you're blocked off from moving to the next generation of technology, like Windows 10.
Yeah, and we see that all the time. We have those customer conversations where somebody is stuck for some reason. They've got a web application which isn't working because of some compatibility issue with a newer version of Internet Explorer, and that stops their entire rollout of an operating system.
Absolutely. We've heard this many, many times. So now a lot of our focus has been over the past year on providing better backward compatibility. This is why we focused enterprise mode on Internet Explorer 8 and previous to provide compatibility for the legacy web as it exists today. Now, between IE8 and IE9, we did a significant reset of the browser. We actually rewrote the browser from the ground up to be based on modern standards, mm-hmm. which is a really good thing for the modern web, and we've continued to iterate on that for IE8, IE9, IE10, and now IE11. But for the legacy web, we realized that we needed to beef up our backward compatibility. Mm-hmm. Now, for Windows 10, this gets particularly interesting. So if we look here, now we're viewing the legacy web as all document modes before Edge. This means that IE11 compatibility includes compatibility view, enterprise mode, IE5, IE7, IE8, IE9, and IE10 document modes. So the easiest way to think about this is we're packaging compatibility for the legacy web, for older websites, as a product, essentially, in IE11 that we're carrying forward to the next major version of our browser. Meanwhile, for the modern web, we have Edge mode, and Edge will be more software as a service. Edge will be updated much more frequently as other browsers do today. Mm-hmm. I often get the question, why do other browsers update constantly and they don't break things, whereas Internet Explorer updates once a year or once every other year and you break everything? Well, that's because other modern browsers are only trying to solve half of this equation. They're really only trying to solve compatibility with the modern web. They're not providing backward compatibility for IE6, IE5, IE8. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to solve both sides of this equation. And by providing an Edge engine that's always up to date with minor iterative updates that don't break the modern web, and by providing a stable legacy platform that includes all of the other document modes, compatibility view, basically all of the IE11 compatibility features we have today, and take that forward into the next major browser in Windows 10, we think we're providing a pretty good solution for both halves of the compatibility problem.
Yeah, because it's like you say, we actually do have this compatibility problem. We have the issue whereby half of our customers, they do have an application which can only run on IE8, for example. And yet we still have to be able to provide the ability for IE8 to work or to be able to render pages that were designed for IE8 in a modern browser. And it's completely unique. We don't see our competition having to do that kind of thing in the browser space. So it's nice that we're being able to do that, and we're having a more up-to-date Edge browser as well. What else in terms of compatibility view for enterprise mode? This is one of those areas where people get confused really, really quickly. We've implemented enterprise mode. There's also compatibility views, and the two play together and work together. Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. I get this question all the time. People say, what about compatibility mode or enterprise view? The terms are too easily interchangeable. So let me walk you through this very easily. Internet Explorer 11 provides, through enterprise mode, a higher fidelity emulation for Internet Explorer 8. Now, since Internet Explorer 8, we've also had something called compatibility view. Compatibility view is essentially a switch. We knew that there were many older websites that were designed for IE5 and previous. We also knew that there were more modern websites that were designed for IE7. Remember, if we go back a number of years, customers had asked Microsoft for functionality that did not exist as a W3C or ECMA International or other standards body standard. Mm-hmm. So these things didn't exist as a web standard. When we introduced this functionality into the browser, it worked really well for customers, and developers loved the functionality. They built it into a lot of line of business applications. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, for many of these functions, the web went in a different direction. So this ended up being proprietary functionality. Mm-hmm. That's why we had these older document modes to provide compatibility for sites that were designed for IE5 or IE6, sites that were designed for IE7, sites that were designed for IE8, and now, to a lesser extent, sites that are designed for IE9 or IE10. We're getting onto that Edge train. Our guidance to developers now is you shouldn't write specifically for a browser. You should write using modern standards and query the browser for functions, not querying the browser for which version are you. But the fact is there are lots of legacy applications out there, and none more so than in a large enterprise environment. So compatibility view is essentially a switch to say, is there a particular doc type associated with the web page? And if so, it gets IE7 document mode. Mm-hmm. If there's not an explicit doc type, then it gets IE5 quirks mode. This is very confusing for customers because they say, how do I test this? Do I test enterprise mode? Do I test compatibility view? Our guidance is that you should test using Internet Explorer 11 natively. And then if that doesn't work, try enterprise mode with higher fidelity emulation for IE8. If that doesn't work, you can try enterprise mode and compatibility view. So you can use the two together to provide even higher fidelity emulation for older versions of Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm. And that seems like a very simple process to go through. Once you've enabled enterprise mode and you're allowing people to use it, then they can probably start to do some of the self-testing around this as well.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, this is shifting a little bit of the power back to the IT pros.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, many of you went through upgrades moving from IE6 to IE8. at that time, upgrading from IE6 or IE7 up to IE8 meant a lot of code changes on the site itself. So that increased the cost significantly. Mm-hmm. There are many customers who complained about the length of time that it took to upgrade and the costs associated with upgrading, not because of the deployment or the management of the browser. Those are fairly well understood at this point. But it was the cost of testing and remediating the applications that were incompatible. Because at the time, fixing an application that was incompatible meant having to go into the application and actually change code. Now, with features like Enterprise Mode, we're putting some power back with the IT Pro so that you can choose, I want to run this site in Enterprise Mode, I want to run this site in a particular document mode, and you have much more flexibility without changing a single line of code on the site.
And we can do that as well through the site list as well. So we can actually go in and say, hey, these particular parts can be changed to run in doc mode. This one can be run in just plain enterprise mode, and it can all be managed centrally.
That's absolutely right. That's one of the exciting things we announced at TechEd on October 30th, was that we're expanding enterprise mode to now include all document modes. We now support, through the enterprise mode site list and managed through the site list manager, the ability for you to put any web path in any document mode. So enterprise mode before this just supported IE8 and previous. Now we're giving customers the ability to say, I want to run this site in IE9 document mode, this site in IE10 document mode, this site in IE7 or even IE5. And here's a subtlety that I should call out for this audience in particular. By setting a doc mode to 7, we're actually giving you the ability to use compatibility view. Because if you remember, compatibility view by default will run IE7 document mode if there's an explicit doc type. If there's not an explicit doc type, it will fall back to IE5 quirks mode. Mm-hmm. So this new functionality, if you set a particular site or a web path to be doc mode equals 7, it will automatically fall back to IE5 if there's not an explicit doc type. That's the behavior of IE7.
So it actually should perform in exactly the same way that IE7 would have performed out of the box anyway.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And in fact, this is more like, for the programmers out there, developers out there, this is much more like IE Emulate or Emulate IE, because what we're actually providing is not just the document mode that the browser is using, but we're also providing the user agent string back to the site that the site is requesting. So by setting doc mode equals, in this case on the screen, doc mode equals IE7 or doc mode equals IE9, it's actually sending back to that site the IE7 or IE9 user agent string. Mm.
So you actually then do enter exactly what the site would normally do in those circumstances, which is exactly what you wanted to do, which is kind of cool. We're also overriding other tags as well that we get delivered from the site. So the XUA compatible meta tag gets overridden now, assuming that you've set something through enterprise mode.
That's absolutely right. We had many customers who were complaining that the developers, for whatever reason, had set a site manually using an XUA compatible meta tag. So the site itself was asking for IE8 mode in many cases, whereas it actually worked fine in Edge mode. Tell me if this has happened to you. You go to a site and it seems to work fine in another browser, but then you pull it up in Internet Explorer and it doesn't seem to work. If you hit the F12 developer tools and then choose a different document mode from that dropdown, you can often choose Edge mode and the site actually works just fine. It was that the site itself, at some point in the distant past, was manually set to use IE8. The good news about this new functionality is that by setting an explicit doc mode, you can override what the site itself is asking for without changing a single line of code, without asking the developer to do anything. You can override what the site is requesting.
And that usually happened because the developers of the site thought that that was going to be the last greatest version of Internet Explorer. There would be never be any more functionality than they could possibly put into Internet Explorer 8. So they'd set the doc type to 8 and it would always fall back to that known state. But then things move on, and that wasn't necessarily exactly what was needed. Other parts of the code get changed. They do some kind of looking at what browser's being used. They see it's Internet Explorer, and instantly force all Internet Explorer into IE8 mode, which not overly helpful.
That's absolutely right. If you use the latest version of Internet Explorer and you're getting code that was designed for a version written 6, 7, 8 years ago, mm-hmm. less than helpful.
Yeah.
We have many customers who told us that at some point in the past, adding that XUA compatible meta tag for IE8 became part of their developer standard. Mm-hmm. So it was required of all developers for all line of business applications to include that line of text, even as they were updating their site to modern standards. So this provides a way for you to fix the site so that it works properly without changing anything on the site. And now troubleshooting sites, at least the first pass of troubleshooting, could be as easy as hitting F12 for the developer tools, choosing different document modes to see which one would work properly, and then setting, using the enterprise mode site list manager, setting the site appropriately.
And we also, we've released some updates. I saw there was a great blog post a while ago about enterprise mode site discovery. How can we understand what browsers are being used for access to certain sites? We've made some massive improvements there as well quite recently. Can you go through those?
Yeah, that's a great catch, Simon. So in September, we actually shipped an update to Internet Explorer 11 that included some hooks that give you additional telemetry about how the browser is being used. These hooks aren't turned on by default. The data doesn't go anywhere by default. And in October, we shipped a enterprise site discovery toolkit that includes some scripts and some sample queries for System Center. Mm-hmm. So if you're using System Center Configuration Manager, you can pull the data from local machines, aggregate it, and then create some custom reports, or you can use our off-the-shelf samples. Now, in this case, a user would browse the web, and I want to be clear here, every site that the user would go to gets aggregated and collected locally. So in certain regions of the world, you absolutely want to make sure that you adhere by local laws and regulations and make sure that you're not stepping on anything. Our guidance to customers in general is that you turn this on for test machines, mm-hmm. because it will collect about 200 bytes on every site that you visit. Now, the first question I asked as an IT pro was, what's the performance hit? The good news is there's not much of a performance hit. The users won't notice this is on, which further reinforces the idea that you want to make sure they know it's on and that you're collecting the data of the sites they surf to. Now, once that data is collected on the local machine, you can aggregate it using System Center or a variety of other tools, and then it gives you a better picture of your environment. We intentionally didn't call this inventory. Mm-hmm. I have to give a shout out to Chris Jackson for this, because Chris was the one, our AppCompat guy, absolutely. Chris was the one who called out, what we're really helping customers do is discover more about their environment. But by collecting this information, you're essentially aggregating this or crowdsourcing it from a small set of users. And at that point, you're in a much better position to know which websites are being rendered in which document mode for which reason. Mm-hmm. Is it because of an XUA compatible meta tag? Is it because of a group policy or for another reason? It will also tell you which ActiveX controls are being used by the sites, and it will tell you which sites will hang or crash. So this is incredibly useful for some customer environments where you may have, hands up, 4, 5, 6 different versions of JRE out there. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to figure out which websites use which ActiveX controls, because this will help you get a handle on how to manage that environment a little bit better. If you can figure out that this set of websites uses this particular ActiveX control, then you can at least work with those line of business app owners to figure out how you can condense the number of ActiveX controls and maybe support fewer versions, or at least support more secure versions, later versions.
Mm-hmm. And It is a fantastic way of being able to understand exactly what's going on inside of your environment. It starts to pull the information together. It also, there's the other controls that we have inside of enterprise mode as well for being able to surface some of this information, providing that back to an IIS centralized site. So it's an additional option in order to collect that information. And probably it collects a little bit more deeper information as well, particularly around crash discovery and those kind of areas.
Yes. This goes into a lot more depth than the original enterprise mode. Remember, enterprise mode has built in a feature where if you turn it on or turn it off, it will send a post to a location of your choice. So this essentially helps customers crowdsource information either from pilot users mm-hmm. or from their broader end user base to be able to see which sites require enterprise mode and which sites do not. this goes into a lot more depth. We got the initial feedback from customers who had deployed enterprise mode saying, I'm not sure across my environment how many line of business applications I have. I don't own the line of business applications, they would typically tell us. I own the desktop, I own the browser on the desktop, but I don't own the line of business applications that are being used in my environment. So this helps you discover more about those line of business applications and hopefully work a little bit better with those line of business app owners on getting them up to speed and getting them in a much more manageable position.
So as always, Internet Explorer is part of Windows, but not. You can also get hold of Internet Explorer outside of just getting waiting for the Windows 10 preview. Most of what you talked about, if not all of it, is actually available in IE 11 today.
That's absolutely right. And our guidance to customers today is that if you can upgrade to Internet Explorer 11, this puts you in a much better position to upgrade to Windows 10. That's why we're focusing a lot of our effort on backward compatibility for Internet Explorer 11. And I'll be really candid with this audience in particular. The reason we're getting engineering resources still working on Internet Explorer 11 for Windows 7 is that we know that it's in our best interest to help customers upgrade and upgrade to Windows 10 ultimately. Mm-hmm. So if we can help customers now upgrade to Internet Explorer 11 by providing additional backward compatibility, by continuing to fix bugs in enterprise mode, by continuing to decrease the testing and remediation costs for customers to make it easier than ever before to upgrade and stay current on the latest version of Internet Explorer, that puts us all in a much better position to be unblocked from upgrading to Windows 10 ultimately.
Yeah, it is by far the easiest action that you can take at the end of this jumpstart is to go ahead and start to move forward onto a more up-to-date version of IE so that you can start to move the entire estate up to Windows 10 when we get to the point in time where it's actually sensible to do that. Fred, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about Internet Explorer and about what we're doing with Internet Explorer. You had some resources that you wanted to share as well. Why don't you go ahead and just go through those very quickly?
Okay, absolutely. So in terms of resources, we have an Internet Explorer blog that's available on MSDN. That's a great place for checking out the latest information. Modern.ie does exactly what it suggests. This is our site for developers who are interested in getting to modern and upgrading their sites to modern standards. There's also a scanning engine there that you can run locally. It doesn't crawl your intranet, but it will scan a particular URL and give you some guidance around upgrading that site to a modern standard that works across browsers and across devices. Mm-hmm. TechNet, of course, is at technet.microsoft.com/IE is the Internet Explorer specific page. And then Microsoft services, support, and partners. I can't say enough about the Microsoft partners that are stepping up to the table and helping us upgrade customers and get customers modern.
Cool, excellent. So that brings us towards the end of the jumpstart. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. It's been a very good view of some of the fundamentals that are coming into Windows 10, some of the ways that we are thinking about changing the product based on your feedback to try and bring some of this stuff back into the product itself. Ask any final questions into the Q&A. We'll try and get those answered. As I say, as long as we are able to answer those questions, and it is questions about things that we've actually disclosed already, then we'll do that. Obviously, it's not the place for feedback. We've been getting a little bit of feedback through the Q&A, so let's try and keep the feedback inside of User Voice, inside of the preview feedback tool. And also, as we are at the end, thank you very much for watching, and don't forget to fill out the survey that you'll find at the end of this jumpstart. Thank you very much for watching.